This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump announcing that the U.S. will raise tariffs on all goods imported from nearly 70 countries beginning in a week. However, there are questions about the legality of the trade policies in the first place. ABC's Jonathan Carl.
Trump's so-called reciprocal tariffs are facing serious legal challenge. On Thursday, federal appeals court judges grilled administration lawyers, appearing to doubt that the president has the authority to impose these tariffs without congressional approval. The administration has already lost in the lower courts on this. This is almost certain to go to the Supreme Court.
Posting on social media today, the president is also calling for the Federal Bank's Board of Governors to usurp the power of Fed Chair Jerome Powell in lowering interest rates. He also calls Powell a, quote, moron. Jobs numbers from the Labor Department out this morning. School teacher suspected of stabbing a mother and father to death on a hiking trail in Arkansas will be in court today. Police say he acted alone. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. All of Wisconsin is under an air quality advisory until noon. There's been a change to how the Wisconsin governor's race is being perceived by the people who analyze elections. With more, here's Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
Larry Sabato has chimed in on the governor's race. The University of Virginia's Center for Politics crystal ball now rates the Wisconsin governor's race as a toss-up after Governor Tony Evers announced he's not running again. The open seat contest adds uncertainty, though Democrats have reason to be hopeful, like a recent big win in a state Supreme Court race. Democrat Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez has officially jumped in, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley says he's gearing up to join the race. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and businessman Bill Berrien have already declared their campaigns.
Dozens of people took part in a community bike ride with La Crosse Mayor Shondell Washington Spivey on Thursday. The event, which lasted about 2.5 hours, made over a dozen stops and went through areas frequently cited as safety concerns for bicyclists and pedestrians. Washington Spivey said the ride was about listening to people about their concerns, but also making himself more accessible to the public. He said he'll consider the feedback from the event as the city continues to work on safer infrastructure. The area organization that puts together honor flights for military veterans is seeking donations. Freedom Honor Flight will make its 33rd trip on September 13th to Washington, D.C. To date, the Freedom Honor Flight has taken over 3,200 veterans to the nation's capital from within a 100-mile radius of La Crosse. But now the group is seeking donations to continue the flights, which currently cost about $185,000. Over 600 veterans remain on a waiting list. To learn more or to donate, visit freedomhonorflight.org. Today will be hazy until the smoke clears out later this evening with highs in the 70s. Sunny skies carry through the weekend with highs in most places in western Wisconsin topping out around 80 degrees. Overnight lows will be in the mid to upper 50s. Our next chance of rain showers will be early next week. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers arrived in the nation's capital to face the Nationals tonight, part of a three-game weekend series. Milwaukee holding on to first place, one game ahead of the Cubs. The Brewers 20 games above 500, a .593 winning percentage. And as a division leader, that's the lowest ever heading into the month of August in Major League history. NFL, the Packers ready to go under the lights tomorrow night inside Lambeau Field for family night. What makes it so special? Tucker Kraft.
It's just the crazy part about Lambeau in itself is it's just this huge, glorious legacy stadium in a neighborhood. All the people of Green Bay, lucky 80,000, get to come pack the stadium out and just watch us practice. And it's not just an ordinary thing. It might be the only time some of those people get to get inside the stadium. And then the family aspect at the end of it, getting to go down the field. This year I'll be able to have my own daughter and my wife out there with me.
That's Packers tight end Tucker Kraft with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are going to have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires today. Otherwise, mostly sunny. We'll get to the mid to upper 70s for a high today. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop down to around 53. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high right around 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 55. where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Forever Young Designs artist Spencer Young. And it's a Bar Band Friday night, so our Wisconsin music expert Terry Barr brings new music from the best Wisconsin bands.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Here I am on a Friday morning. It's August 1st, 2025. Nice to have you here back up north, live across the Civic Media Radio Network, where we will be talking to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez in just a moment. Brittany Merlot was with us last hour, and the forecast is just, we don't need to take up a lot of time for that. She reminds us that we have a dry stretch right now. Chances for rain hold off until next week, but we are definitely battling some bad air quality. So there is sunshine, but it's behind a lot of wildfire smoke. And statewide, highs today will be in the mid to upper 70s with a light northeasterly wind. Tonight, clear and cool. Scattered fog is possible. And, of course, the smoke hanging around as well, at least for the near future. Calm winds tonight. Lows will be in the upper 40s up north to the low 50s south. And, again, we have our local forecast on your Civic Media radio stations throughout the course of the day. So stay tuned to that. Stay tuned as well for our Free Ticket Friday keyword. If you haven't heard it yet, we'll tell you all about it before we head out of this particular segment. Get that Civic Media app ready. Go to one of the stations, use the text feature, and text us the keyword that I'm going to give you, and you will be in the running, a statewide drawing for 4 tickets to next Friday's Brewers game. That one will be Brewers versus Mets next Friday if you're the winner of Free Ticket Friday. The Brewers tonight are in Washington, D.C. They are taking on the Washington Nationals. Pre-game coverage will begin at 5:10 on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us on Friday mornings as well. Dr. Lyerly also hosts the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. Weekends, Saturday, what, 3 o'clock, right?
Saturday and Sunday at 3 o'clock, yep.
I think I'd get that time right by now. What do you have coming up tomorrow?
We're talking about food waste. You know, all that food that you eat or don't eat, and then it ends up in the garbage, there are so many better ways to deal with that. And we've got some wonderful local nonprofits who are helping to manage food waste, including about 6,000 pounds of food that was generated in Green Bay during the draft. Wow. So we're talking with Selena Darrow from Rooted In about some of the cool, innovative work that she's doing.
Okay, so that's the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show this weekend on the Civic Media app and on the stations in Green Bay and Oshkosh as well. Kristen is a former candidate for state legislature. She had also run for Congress, but it was as a candidate for state legislature, I believe, when you met our Lieutenant Governor, Sarah Rodriguez.
It's true. We went to go turn our papers in, and I ran into this wonderful woman. She had a history of being a nurse, a public health worker. She worked as an epidemiologist for the CDC, and we just immediately clicked. And now she happens to be running for governor.
And now she happens to be here as well. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm really good.
Can you vouch for any or all of what Dr. Lyerly said?
Yes, we quite literally ran into each other when we were handing in our papers and then started chatting. So it was really exciting. It was so nice to see another healthcare professional running for office, because it doesn't happen that often, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't. We've talked about that a lot, that healthcare professionals, by and large, shunned the public spotlight, shunned politics. But certainly in the past 5 years or so, that has changed for various reasons. And so I want to go back, 5 years or so, because, you're familiar with the term overnight sensation. These are people who have been toiling like rock and roll bands. They've been playing in bowling alleys and small clubs for years. They finally get a hit record and people are like, they're an overnight sensation. Well, Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez, welcome to the club. You have been involved in Wisconsin politics for exactly 7 days, to hear some people tell it, and are now an overnight sensation. But you have actually been doing a few things over the past few years. And I want you to talk about your path to becoming a candidate for governor.
Yeah. So, I have spent most of my career in healthcare. Like Dr. Lyerly said, I'm a nurse. I am a public health professional. I worked as a nurse in an emergency department. I had been an executive within large healthcare systems, and I was an epidemic intelligence service officer with the Centers for Disease Control, which means I did outbreak investigations nationally, internationally. And 2019, 2020, when COVID hit, I saw that the Assembly and the Senate was doing nothing. They didn't meet for 8 months when people needed leadership and guidance. So I ran for office for the Assembly. And I live in Waukesha County, so I flipped a district from red to blue within that Assembly district. And I was in the Assembly for 2 years. And then Mandela Barnes, he ran for Senate. So the Lieutenant Governor seat became open. I decided to take that microphone and be able to talk even more broadly across the state about things that I care about, which are healthcare, affordability and access, making sure that families are able to afford not just the basics, but actually thrive within Wisconsin. And being able to be under Governor Evers and seeing the amazing thing he's done, he has set us up for success with these last two terms. And I'm going to knock it out of the park as governor. So that's why I'm running. I want to make sure that families have what they need to thrive in Wisconsin. And I'm just really excited to talk to everybody across all 72 counties. I've done that every year as Lieutenant Governor, visited all 72 counties. I'm going to continue to do that, go out, listen, see what people want in their governor, see what people want in their state government.
Kristen, I want to bounce this over to you as well, simply because of the theme of people who saw how the pandemic was being handled by a certain subset of the political class, trying to, get rid of safeguards and put people, at risk of dying. And I feel quite strongly led to people dying. There are still people that want to talk like they're angry about how government handled the pandemic. I'm still equally angry about how people tried to blow past all these safeguards. And thankfully, it motivated other healthcare workers to run for office.
This is the reason that healthcare workers don't like to get involved in politics, right? Because we believe in evidence and data and science. And we know that there were things that we did well with COVID and things that we didn't do well. We were building the plane as we were flying it, and we were doing the best that we could, but we always had the people of Wisconsin, our neighbors and our patients at the forefront. That's who we were working for. But what we saw was that, and let's say it, it was Republicans. It was extremist Republicans who were politicizing this message, who were telling people, who were making masks political, who were making medications political, who were pushing these cures that actually didn't work. And it was literally killing people. The number of stories that I've heard from emergency department physicians of people who showed up sick with COVID, preventable COVID, and said, I am ready for my vaccine now. And it was too late.
Yeah.
And then they went on to die because they listened to a politician instead of a healthcare provider. So I think that is one of the really important points about someone like Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez running in this position as the person she is with everything she brings. In addition to, and I know that I'm like grandstanding right now, but I have to tell you this story. I met this person last night. We were doing a bike ride and we were in Appleton, and he was telling me about the time that he was at an event in Outagamie County, and he was talking to this wonderful woman and they were having this great conversation. And all of a sudden she said, "Oh, I have to go." And she walked up to the podium and started talking, and he realized, "Oh, wow, I was just talking to the lieutenant governor. I had no idea," because she was such a real person. She was so regular, and he connected so beautifully with you, Lieutenant Governor. And I think that is one thing about you that people really need to understand. You are like us.
That is so sweet. And that's what I think people want, is they don't want a politician, right? They want their neighbor, their friend. You know, I'm a mom of two kids, 16 and 18. I'm shocked that I have an 18-year-old and he's actually an adult. I don't even know how that happened. But, you know, these are the kind of things that weigh important on my mind as a mom, as somebody who's been working full time. You know, I had to try to find childcare when my kids were smaller, and it wasn't as hard as it is now. I talk to families who actually, when they're thinking about getting pregnant, thinking about it, they start calling around to childcare places because they know it's so difficult to find. Like, that's just shameful in Wisconsin. We should be able to have the services we need. And, you know, families should be able to do what they want, go to work if they want to, and be able to have a safe place to put their kids.
It's the kind of thing that, again, childcare should be a bipartisan thing. And yet somehow we've made it political. And as a result of the current environment, and the one that's been in the state capitol for a while here, and now is in Washington, D.C., you have called the president of the United States a maniac. You know what? Truth is a defense and libel, but it does lead to this question of, you know, working with others, working with Republicans, working with independents. What is your history on that? And what is it that you want to do as governor?
So, you know, I live in Waukesha County. It's a pretty red county. And so I do not have the luxury of only speaking to Democrats at home, at work, any other time. So when I was an executive within a healthcare system, I had to work with people who we didn't agree on things. We had to move projects together. When I was in the assembly, I had to be able to work across the aisle to try to be able to get things done. That was more challenging than I thought it was going to be. It was a surprise to me how difficult that was to work across the aisle. But I am willing to work with anybody who wants to move Wisconsin forward. But I don't think anybody can say that the man in the White House is a maniac. It is absolute chaos on the federal level right now. And so we need to have a Democrat in the governor's seat so we can have steady, sober, clean leadership.
Well, especially given what we were just talking about in Texas, where they came in and they're gerrymandering the maps again, just because, you know, Donald Trump said jump and they said how high. Tell us a little bit. Let's go back before your time in the legislature and as a nurse, you know, just some of your early history and, you know, meeting your husband and things like that.
Yeah. So I was in Oklahoma when I met my husband, and I was an epidemic intelligence service officer with the CDC, but stationed at the state health department. And the health commissioner's wife had run a salsa dancing group, and they knew I danced salsa. And so they introduced me to their group, and Baltzar was part of that salsa dancing group. So we actually met salsa dancing, of all things. And we will be married now 20 years coming up this December. So it was just so much fun to be able to share that with him. Now we're getting a little older. I actually announced my candidacy on my 50th birthday. Like, what a way to start your 50s, right?
Right.
But, you know, we keep joking. We need a middle-aged dance club because we like to be in bed by 10:30, 11, and most of the dancing doesn't start until that time. So, you know, I think that's a business idea for somebody.
I think they could. I think they absolutely should. So, so again, we're talking 20 years here, and I tell you, we've got only a minute left here. So I may come back to personal matters in just a minute, but give me the 30-second, 45-second version of your top priorities the moment you're sworn into office if elected as governor.
So we know that families are being squeezed. We know that they're trying to do the best that they can, but they feel like they can't make ends meet. And so accessible, affordable healthcare is going to be top of my priority, specifically expanding Medicaid so we can bring $2 billion back to Wisconsin to be able to invest. housing costs are out of control. It is insanity, the rents and the mortgages. Young families are not able to afford what they need. Childcare access and affordability is going to be top priority because, again, these are real issues that we need to solve. And lastly, we need to restore bargaining rights for our unions in Wisconsin because we know that it's going to raise all wages if we do that.
That's Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez visiting with us, a candidate for governor in 2026. Local update is next for some of you here. The key word to text in this hour as part of the Free Ticket Friday for those Milwaukee Brewers tickets is FLY, F-L-Y. Use that to text us that word on the Civic Media app and get a chance to win tickets to the Brewers game next Friday night. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show. Heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Remember, if you ever want to listen back to an episode or just can't catch us live on the radio every day, you can pod this program. Just head over to Spotify or Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and sign up to follow us and have us on your device and be able to listen on demand. Remember, Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. We enjoy so much these three-hour partnerships that we've been doing for 3 years now, as of today. But if you want to know more about what my team is working on over at Up North News, head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Again, don't forget the WI, and you can always email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com as well. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here with me as we are talking to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, a candidate for governor. And I mentioned coming back to your personal life because as we talked about a couple days back, it took virtually no time for the garbage, for lack of a better term, to come out about your husband, a naturalized citizen. I think I'm pretty safe in guessing you knew this was coming.
Yeah. Yes, I did know it was coming, but it's still disappointing. I mean, it's racist and vile and all of those things, and it doesn't help anyone thrive in Wisconsin, right? It is just throwing red meat to a base that has all of this anti-immigrant rhetoric now. But now you see what the consequences are to that anti-immigrant rhetoric. It's just really unfortunate. And this is all they got. You know, they better be looking for more, because I'm ready to run, and I'm ready to fight back against these types of attacks.
Yeah, no doubt. But the thing I mentioned was that, again, your response was, again, taking it back to what it means for the voter, and that these kinds of diversions, they feed a certain slice of you know, xenophobia or racism. Yeah. But that's really about it. You also got a little heat this week for gasp, how one uses YouTube to put videos out and put them together, and when you did. But even though you've been asked 100 times, I'll have you set up and lay the record out for that in terms of how you prepared for a campaign that may or may not have been announced last week.
So this is so silly. You know, I mean, there were two options here. Either the governor was going to announce that he wasn't going to run for a third term, or he was going to announce that he was going to run for a third term. And guess what? I was prepared for both. So I prepared a video to announce my candidacy for lieutenant governor, and I prepared a video to announce my candidacy for governor. Don't you want someone who is prepared as your chief executive officer? Don't you want someone who is organized and is ready to run right away? There was no time to wait. I wanted to make sure that I was out there and talking about things that were important to Wisconsin families, and that's what I did.
Yeah, and Kristen, as a former candidate as well, we are very familiar with the private setting on YouTube, so that you're ready to go if need be, and then you switch it over to public. And Kristen, I mean, you've seen all of this, and as a former candidate, you can relate as well to what the lieutenant governor has seen and will see in the coming year.
I am also a planner, so I can appreciate that you were ready. And we had this conversation months ago about, you know, if this happens, we're going to do this. And if this happens, we're going to do that. So I completely understand what you're saying and appreciate that. But here's my question. I feel like here in Wisconsin, we are so nice, and it is so hard for us to talk about spicy things like politics. And we don't want to offend anybody, especially where I live in the Green Bay area. But we are living in a time where politics has really polarized us. Mm-hmm. And we've got to call the party that is causing all of this chaos and this discomfort. We've got to call them out for what they are doing. How do you do that and still maintain those relationships and win them over in this state that we love so much, but we recognize as challenging political territory?
Yeah, so here's what I think is the key to that. It is not all Republicans, right? It is Republican leadership that is doing this. I live in a red community. I talk to Republicans all the time. Guess what? We agree on way more than we disagree on. So, I mean, I'm going to call out the individuals who are doing this, be very specific in what I'm talking about and their decisions, their votes, their bills that they're putting forward. But in general, I'm not going to paint the entire Republican Party this way, because I do know people who are so disappointed with their party right now, but they're struggling. They're struggling to realize that the party has left them. And so we need to be able to embrace those people into the Democratic Party and make sure that they're welcome here.
There's been questions as well about how your style will be different from Governor Tony Evers. I think the fair question is how Tony Evers is different from basically everybody else.
Yeah.
He is a unique character that Wisconsin truly embraced for two terms. So, but let's take it not so much from a comparison, but talk about your style. What will we expect from you as a governor?
So we're going to be different, right? We have different experiences. We have different backgrounds, and you know, Governor Evers is the nicest man you will ever meet. I swear the man has candy in his pocket to give to kids. Like, he is the sweetest man you're ever going to meet. And that leadership style has worked really, really well for him. I would say that my leadership style is a little bit more engaging, that I am going to be out there a little bit more talking to people, talking to the legislators, because whatever happens in 2026, I am confident we are going to flip the state Senate and the state assembly, but the margins are going to be tight. So we're going to have to do negotiations. We're going to have to do those types of conversations. And I'm used to doing that as an executive in my prior life. And I'm used to doing that, you know, within the political system. So I think that's what I also bring to the table.
All right. I've made clear before, I'm not going to put any kind of public endorsement out there. I want everybody to come and feel like they can talk to us here, but I will repeat what I said before. A masterclass in how to do an introductory video. The walk and talk that says, this is who I am, this is what I want to do. Congratulations on putting that together. I mean, you've set a very high bar for any of the other field that comes in. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much for visiting with us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. Dr. Lyerly's going to stick around, but first we're going to visit with Mike Clemens and talk a little sports for the weekend. But first, a reminder that our keyword is fly. You've got till 9 o'clock to text it in using the Civic Media app, FLY, and be in the running for a statewide drawing for Brewers tickets for a game next Friday. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Nearly 70 active large-scale wildfires are burning over a million acres in the U.S. alone. And much of this wildfire activity is happening in the Pacific Northwest, as well as Canada. And most of the recent ones are caused by dry lightning strikes that happened in dense, wooded areas with remote access.
This is really no different than any other year, other than the fact that it is a little bit earlier.
That's Catherine Coele, a Wisconsin DNR wildfire prevention specialist. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says the fire control program staff from the state have been mobilized across the western U.S. and even into Canada to help combat the blazes.
Once you get notice of a resource order, you can be mobilized within 24 hours.
Both personnel and engines from Wisconsin have been moved to over 65 out-of-state fire assignments so far this year. But how can we afford to send resources when we have our own problems here?
You know, these experiences, they bring that back to Wisconsin. It's a way for us to improve our program here. They share those experiences. Hey, you know, we did this thing out in Oregon and it was really cool. And there was a neat way to fight this fire. And it's those strategies are brought back to Wisconsin. So we learn and grow from those experiences when we bring those resources back.
Since we've had recent widespread rain and green vegetation across the state, wildfire activity here has subsided with a minimal fire risk in Wisconsin. Now this has allowed the DNR to shift focus and help support national wildfire efforts. Right now, 20 different DNR staff have been moved to 12 different states, with three wildland fire engines currently stationed in Oregon. There are also six DNR staff in northern Manitoba and another DNR engine responding to fires in California. Wisconsin firefighters and engines are slated to be on assignment for about 2 weeks or until the fire severity subsides. For Civic Media News, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Law & Order franchise has been teasing its viewers for years regarding a romance between detectives Olivia Benson and Elliot Stabler, played respectively by Mariska Hargitay and Christopher Maloney. Fans on social media have been asking when it will happen. Maloney recently told the New York Post he's been trying to get them to hook up for a long time. Hargitay says she is enjoying the flirt game and is keeping an open mind about the situation. Maloney currently stars in Law & Order Organized Crime, and Hargitay is in her I Lost Count season of Law & Order SVU. DC Studios may have made a lot of money over the years, but they haven't had a film that's reached the $300 million plateau domestically since 2022. Thanks to James Gunn's Superman just crossed the mark. This is the ninth DC movie to reach $300 million here in the U.S. The last DC film to hit that mark was The Batman 3 years ago. I'm sure DC would like even more cha-ching, so be sure to check out Superman, which is still in theaters. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are going to have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires today. Otherwise, mostly sunny. We'll get to the mid to upper 70s for a high today. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop down to around 53. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high right around 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Right now, it's 57.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
This week, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez joins the show to talk about the launch of her campaign for governor.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, sign up for our newsletters. We have a weekday one, and then we have a special Sunday edition focused on Wisconsin politics. And I can bet you a pretty good sum that we're going to be talking about that interview with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. So sign up for our newsletters over at upnorthnewswi.com. And I believe, Dr. Lyerly, that your discussion with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez yielded exactly the person that you thought you knew.
Yeah, she is just a regular person, but also brilliant and a wonderful leader. And we are so lucky to have her here.
Mm-hmm. And again, as other candidates get in the race, we will be welcoming them to join us here as well as we continue following the news for next year's elections. But now we're going to follow sports because that's way more fun. We've got both Packers and Brewers to talk about with Mike Clemens, who's here from Packer training camp. Mike, all right, how are you?
Very good. Yeah, we're in the little media center that we've got here at Lambeau Field where we've been going to practice every day and watching the team getting ready.
What are your overall impressions so far? I know it's early, but what's the environment like there?
Matt LaFleur is trying to, get a more physical team going. When you think about the way that they lost to the Philadelphia Eagles in the playoffs, when Elgton Jenkins, their starting left guard at the time, the play had gone off to the side there, and he was just kind of jogging along, and a guy named Nolan Smith, a linebacker, he just went and just drilled him like out of nowhere, almost like a pro wrestling move with his helmet. Well, Elgton Jenkins' arm went limp. I mean, I saw him after the game in the locker room. He needed two teammates to help him get his jersey off. He had the worst neck stinger. And so, Elgton was a bit of a holdout. Turned out to be kind of a back injury. But I was able to talk to him off microphone later. And he agreed, because when you watch that game, Vic Fangio, the noted defensive coordinator for the Eagles, it was his first year there, but he's been all over the league. He told those guys, it's the playoffs. The refs are going to keep the flags in their pockets. Hit somebody on every play, right? Before the whistle. But just hit somebody, because you see that happen 4 or 5 times. So Matt LaFleur knows that we've got a young team. We've got a lot of speed, but we need to be more physical. You need to throw body punches when you get to the postseason. And so he's trying to do that. At the same point, during the regular season, you can be called for penalties. So Rashid Walker has been the starting left tackle for the Packers now, going on year two. And so the other day, there's this play where Jordan Love is backing up the pass. J.J. Inigbari is a defensive end. And at the snap, bam, he pops Walker in the shoulder pads really loud. And he's driving and driving and driving, trying to go after the quarterback. And Walker's, pushing him off and pushing him off, and the play is over. And, Walker looks at him like, dude, you're overdoing it. Maybe Inigbari said something back. And then Walker said something to the defensive player, Inigbari, and assistant coach said, all right, 63, you're out. And he was like, what? Yeah, go to the sideline. Now LaFleur's back there. He's running the offense, right? He's got his walkie-talkie. He looks up, where's my left tackle? So the assistant told him what had happened, and LaFleur comes running over. This doesn't happen in the NFL. Maybe peewee or junior high or high school. He comes running over. He says, Sheed, that's his nickname for Rashid. Sheed, take a lap. Eddie, well, he goes to one of the assistants, make sure he takes a lap. And like, what? So he's shrugging his shoulders. So he starts trotting off. Now, Josh Jacobs, the running back they picked up last year from the Raiders, a guy who's become a team leader, he looks around at Tucker Kraft, and the other guy just says, come on, we're going to follow him. So Josh Jacobs, Tucker Kraft, and about four or five other linemen, they go follow Rashid Walker in this lap all the way down there to the north end of the end zone. They come back about 3 minutes later, taking a lap. And we asked LaFleur, so what was that all about? He goes, hey, look, in the NFL, it's not only, you know, if you can have a late hit or an illegal hit, but sometimes things that you say, if it could trigger a fight, they'll throw a flag and you'll be charged for 15 yards. So he said, these practices have to be game-like conditions, and I'm not going to tolerate it.
Interesting. And, you know, that plus, as Tony says up on YouTube, a more physical team, absolutely love that mentality. So it definitely feels like the players and coaches, they have their heads in the right spot already.
Well, you've got to, there's a fine line between being more physical, but, you know, it has to be football. You know who was really good at that? Was Reggie White. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could clobber you and then pick you up after the play.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So Packers Family Night is coming up at Lambeau Field tomorrow. I'm going to ask Kristen about it in a minute, but tell me your thoughts on what folks will be expecting tomorrow.
Well, you'll see the offense and the defense. You see a scrimmage. It's not, you know, tackle to the ground, but you'll get to see the offense and the defense. You'll see Jordan Love throwing passes to Matthew Golden, the first-round draft pick, the wide receiver. You'll get to see Nate Hobbs, number 21, who it looks like he's going to be right now. He's in the driver's seat to be the starting defensive back alongside Keyshawn Nixon. By the way, did you see this report this week, Pat, that Jair Alexander, you know, who they had that big kind of contract dispute because they weren't going to pay him the injuries, in his first week with the Ravens, John Harbaugh, the head coach, announced that he was having his knee drained.
Oh, no.
So it looks like the Packers made the right move there. But the thing I love about Family Night is one time I'm in the radio station and our production director said, hey, I'm taking my son Jack, age 7, to the game Sunday, you know, and we got some tickets. I said, hey, have you ever been to a game with him before? He goes, no. I said, you know, you should take him to Family Night first. Well, I already bought the tickets. How much? Oh, like over $200 a piece. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they play the Seahawks. Great game. I see him in the hallway the following week. I go, hey, so how was it? He goes, it got to be the third quarter. He said, Daddy, can we go home? So I said, you know, this is why you go to Family Night, man. It's $10, and you get to see all the Packer players, yeah. And then there's fireworks afterward. That's where you find out how much they can get their sample of the Packers that way, and then later you can take them to a game.
It's a sampler platter thing. Kristen, you're going to be there probably every year, Kristen, right?
Yeah, and you know, as I'm listening to Mike talk, first of all, I'm thinking, be physical, but don't hurt each other. It's just the mom and me. But I'm also, when I think of Family Night, I'm like, tailgating, the weather's going to be perfect, the food, the fireworks. Yep. People are so happy and excited, so that's what I'm looking forward to.
All right, so.
Well, it's the dress rehearsal, too, you know?
Yes.
And for a rookie like Matthew Golden, it's his first time inside Lambeau Field with 70, 80,000 people. So, you know, it gets him ready for the preseason and the regular season games when they have home games.
Yep. It's so much more laid back. It's like a party. It's not like a game. It's like a party. People are cheering for fun things that are happening on the field, but it doesn't have that like intensity. It is just an entirely different atmosphere. And Mike, the $10 ticket price is very cool.
Yeah, outstanding.
Oh, yeah. Let's turn our attention to the Brewers here. And once again, you've noticed a theme. We've come to the trade deadline, and there's no blockbusters. That is not the typical way of doing things. What did the Brewers do ahead of last night's trade deadline?
If people saw the headlines, Pat, they're saying, oh, well, so they did they get a bat? This Brandon Lockridge from the Padres, you know, 28-year-old? No. You know what? As I'm kind of going through the papers this morning, and to me, this is roster maintenance. I mean, what they did is Nestor Cortez is the guy that they had got from the Yankees in that trade for Devin Williams, their closer, that, you know, they weren't going to be able to match him for a contract. And Cortez, like a week or so into the season, has an elbow flexor, and he's been out most of the season. So they trade him to the Padres, and they get a backup outfielder, because right now, Jackson Churio, your center fielder, he's got a hamstring injury. And a couple of weeks ago, he had Sal Frelick out with a hamstring. So they just got added some depth, you know, someone in the outfield. And then they did another deal with the Arizona Diamondbacks, and the Diamondbacks sent them two players. Now, Shelby Miller is a right-hand pitcher. He's currently on the injured list with a forearm strain. And another guy, Jordan Montgomery, both these players in their 30s, he just had Tommy John surgery. So he ain't even going to play this year. So I think it's for a player to be named. No. So at the end of the day, these guys are sort of cleaning up the back end of their rosters, doing each other favors. It's not like they made – I thought it was interesting, though, the other night. In that game when they beat the Cubs the other night, and Andrew Vaughn, who they picked up from the White Sox when they traded away pitcher Aaron Savalier, hits a grand slam. And Bill Schroeder says, you know, everybody wants the Brewers to make a big trade because the deadline's coming up Thursday. You got to make a trade. Get a bat. Well, there's your trade right there.
Yeah.
It's just the Brewers did it about a month ago. You know,
yeah,
there's your bat they picked up.
It was perfect. The Brewers head into the series against. Is it still fair to say the lowly Washington Nationals tonight? They just haven't been the same since they won the World Series in 2019. They've been in rebuilding ever since.
Yeah, they have. But here's the interesting point. This Milwaukee Brewers team, remember they got, you know, just rolled over by the Yankees opening weekend?
Yeah.
Right now, the Brewers have the best record in baseball. They're 20 games above 500. Their winning percentage is .593. So even when you're in a league with the teams like the Mets, the Dodgers, the Padres, some of these other leaders, the Brewers have the best record in baseball right now. And at .593, their winning percentage is the lowest ever for the league heading into the month of August in Major League. So that means parity right now. That means you've got an even horse race amongst all these teams, American and National League, heading into, you know, the month of August.
By the way, as I'm looking at trade deadline stuff here, how not fun is it to be a Minnesota Twins fan this morning, where they have traded 10 players from their 26-man roster? I mean, just an out-and-out fire sale, which, again, if you're rebuilding, I suppose that's necessary. But my goodness, Mike, that's just got to be demoralizing to a fan base.
It's an equipment manager's nightmare, isn't it?
Yes.
I love that you went there. I was thinking like their fan base is already demoralized. So
right. Yeah.
I'll be here all night doing the laundry. Are you kidding me?
having a son-in-law who is an equipment manager, I can immediately relate, and I'm so sending him now texts about the Twins and see how that works out. So the pitching core, we traded away a starter because we have such a good core of starters, and that's how we head into the weekend series with the Nationals with a good core of starting pitchers.
You got Quinn Priester has come along, and then you got the Miz, Jacob Mizorowski. So these are the things that have popped up and gone the right way for the Brewers. And even that trade, when they got Nestor Cortez, you know who else they got in that trade from the Yankees? Corbin Durbin? Or Caleb Durbin, your third baseman. He's one of the hottest hitters you've got. So there's always these diamonds in the rough that end up, you know, being the difference makers in some of these trades.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so you got the Brewers Nationals. Again, pregame coverage starts at 5:10, and then you've got the Packers family night at Lambeau Field tomorrow. So I sense we'll have more Brewers and Packers training camp stuff to discuss next Friday. Mike Clemens, have a great weekend. Thank you so much.
Thank you all. Have a good weekend.
All right, we'll see you. Kristen, this probably just gets you as excited as ever to get over to family night.
Yeah, I mean, this is the best time of year because the weather is good.
Yep.
People are super excited. The season hasn't started yet, so there's nothing to criticize. It is literally just about like being together and partying.
Yeah, and you can never argue with a tailgate at Lambeau Field when the weather is beautiful. But back to the Brewers for a second. It is Free Ticket Friday, and the keyword is fly, F-L-Y. Just text that on the Civic Media app, and you could be in the running. There will be more keywords across the Civic Media radio network throughout the course of the day. One statewide winner is going to get four tickets to next Friday's game, Brewers versus the New York Mets. Local update next for some of you. Others will have some final news and notes from here on Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. After weeks of speculation, Governor Tony Evers has finally made his decision. He is not running for a third term. Evers has had an accomplished career as a dedicated public servant for 5 decades and has been a terrific governor for the state of Wisconsin these last 6+ years. And we should be grateful for his time in office. It's been a job well done. But all things must pass. In making this decision to step aside and not seek another term, Tony Evers is doing what he has done time and time again. He's doing the right thing. And perhaps in making this decision, Governor Evers can be the one to turn the tide on the Democratic Party's unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. In his own unassuming way, the mild-mannered former science teacher who became Wisconsin's governor can be an example to Democrats across the nation. Because we know what happens in Wisconsin politics often has ramifications that reach well beyond the state's borders.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
That sound? It's your recycling at work. And you can thank a Wisconsin woman for making it happen. Millie Zantow saw a waste sorting system in Japan during a trip in the 1970s. She came home to Prairie du Sac in Sauk County inspired. Her research led to the triangle-numbered plastic recycling system we still use today. So can you guess what percent of all the plastics produced in the United States ends up being recycled? 75%? 25%? Or 5%? The answer coming up. Zantow also helped with Wisconsin's recycling laws, along with the opening of one of the first collection centers. But now, are you surprised to learn the answer is just 5% of plastics are recycled? It's according to the group Beyond Plastic. Yet Zantow always believed you don't have to be perfect, you just have to start. There's a smart slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just mucked trailer, spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
All right, one last time till 9 o'clock. You've got to text us the keyword fly using the Civic Media app and be in the running for Free Ticket Friday. 4 tickets to see the Brewers-Mets next Friday at American Family Field. This show is 3 years old today. And
today? It's today, your birthday?
Yeah, I said the show. It's the show's birthday. Yes,
happy
exactly.
Happy birthday, show.
Hey, there you go. And I was doing some quick scrolling here, but I couldn't scroll fast enough to find Dr. Lyerly's first appearance on this show. So you're mentioned in the show notes on the, I looked at the very first episode, and you're mentioned there as guests we have to book, potential guests we have to go get. So you've been on our watch list.
Oh, what a difference 3 years could make.
And now we can't get rid of her. Yes, exactly. So, no, thank you for being a part of all this. And you do so much for the show. You do so much, you know, for me. I value your friendship. We value all the knowledge base that you bring to all this. And it's, we don't often get to pay you back. And so we're going to do that now. I don't have any show notes for this segment here, but you started off this morning off air saying, you know, you're a little grouchy.
Crabby.
There's something a little crabby, something you got to, you know, get off your chest. And this is your forum for it. Dr. Lyerly, how can we help?
This is my payback. I was expecting a cake or something.
How can we help you vent today?
I'm feeling crabby because I was listening to the segment before I came on. And
oh, great. Thanks. Okay.
But it's the world
sucks.
Feels hopeless. I was on a bike ride with the folks from The Recyclist in Kokana last night, and the overwhelming feeling, we slow rolled over to Tack Brewing, and Kokana's my hometown, so that feels like a really safe, great place for me, and we had some really great discussions, and the overwhelming feeling was people feel hopeless. They're looking at what's happening in Washington, D.C. They hear discussions like the conversation you were having with Jim Santel in your usual panel, and they just don't know what they can do. And they're looking at the horizon and thinking, how are we going to get through this? And that makes me feel crabby. But as we were talking last night, and as we were talking this morning with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, there are so many ways to instill hope here, to start working toward that future, to come together as friends and neighbors, to help each other. Times are tough and they're gonna get tougher as the holes in the safety net continue to widen, as people lose access to healthcare. We know it's coming, and it's gonna be some of the most vulnerable folks that you know. They're not gonna have access to food. They're gonna be hungry. But in our own communities, in our own neighborhoods, these are times when we can help each other out as we start envisioning the future that we want to create together. So, Pat, I'm actually feeling a little bit better, but one of the big barriers that I'm very frustrated about is media. And, you know, being up here in the Green Bay media market, media is not covering some of the most important stories that people need to hear about. It's national media that there is a man in Sturgeon Bay who was arrested and charged with 10 counts of child pornography, and he just happens to be married to the chair of the Door County Republican Party. That's really important that people know that. But the mentions on Green Bay media have been absent for the most part, but also anemic when it's out there. And this is just one example of how one side is definitely favored over another side, and objectivity is completely lost here. So what I would love to see is for us to be able to have more honest conversations, because I think that's what people are really missing.
Did you say the Door County Republican Party?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure it was the right county. I wasn't sure what I'd read before, because, again, in what little I had read about that case and knowing how sparsely it was covered, mm-hmm. and knowing full well that if it were the spouse of a county Democratic Party chair, I mean, there would be no end to it. And we talk about this with our Week in Review panel, you know, last hour and again consistently, is that the double standard is maybe less so in the media than in the general public, saying, well, we just expect this side to behave better than the other side. We hold Democrats to a higher standard. But that's fine. Hold more people to higher standards, but don't just not cover something because you say, well, they're the party that does these things anyway.
Yeah, not okay.
No.
And that's exactly what you were talking about earlier. You know, when the press has just gotten so used to Donald Trump with his erratic, bizarre, frankly, hostile to the American public rhetoric. He's hurting our economy. He's driving prices up. These are things that aren't even debatable, but the media has just gotten so used to it. And that way that they craft the headlines and the way that they deliver the news to us, we're not understanding the gravity of the situation and actually who needs to be held accountable. And, you know, in Door County, this is the same Republican Party that last year at the Sister Bay Fall Fest, the Door County Republicans were throwing candy from their float to children that was laced with with this bizarre rhetoric put together by Gays Against Groomers about anti-child pornography was on the candy that they were distributing to children. There are some really significant problems here that have just not been discussed, and it taps into the greater national conversation about Jeffrey Epstein and Donald Trump and who else is involved there. And people want to know. People really want to know.
Well, especially the ones who, you know, scream the loudest, usually in their anti-trans comments about protecting children, are far more likely to protect people under their own political umbrella who are the ones who are actually targeting children or behaving badly toward women, as the case may be. And it does. It makes you want to go into some of these local newsrooms and just have a discussion and say, guys, why are you covering this way? Just explain that to me and see if we can't help them see, you know, the way toward a better balanced approach toward the news.
And I mean, as consumers, we need to recognize that bias. I think that's all that we can do as individuals is recognize that bias.
Right. Thank you for venting. I hope
thank
it
you,
helps out a bit. Enjoy family night.
I will.
All right. We will see you Monday morning. My thanks to today's guests, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Kia Vakil, Matt Henney from Courier, Texas, Greg Bach, Jennifer Schulze, Mark Jacob, Jim Santel, Dr. Lyerly, Mike Clemens, and of course, Parker Olson, and all of you for being here as part of our Mornings Together here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great weekend.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. We've gotten in new numbers on the U.S. economy reflecting how companies are trying to plan with the Trump tariffs looming. The Labor Department showing just 73,000 jobs were added in July. And there was a huge revision on the number of jobs we thought had been created in May and June. Here's ABC's Alexis Christophorus.
That revision for the prior 2 months, for May and June, 258,000 fewer jobs added. That means in those 2 months, just 33,000 jobs were added. I think what you're starting to see is businesses are having a hard time planning for the future, expanding payrolls and hiring more people because they simply don't understand what their costs are going to be going forward.
The White House announcing that previously announced tariffs on about 60 countries will be kicking in next week. Middle East envoy Steve Witkoff visiting one of the aid distribution sites set up jointly by the United States and Israel. The UN says more than 1,000 Palestinians have died trying to get aid at those sites since Israel reclosed the borders. This is ABC News.